Welcome to the 40th episode of the Forkum Podcast. I apologize for the late, but we are back. A couple of changes to the podcast. Nothing you really see, but using my laptop to integrate more into the podcast, which should help for a more professional experience. And as I grow with this and improve, eventually I do want to contact Northwestern and see about becoming an official vendor for Northwestern State, which will allow me to use the logos and, you know, the actual Forkum Demons quote. And hopefully one day, expand to other things such as interviews. But that's still far away. In addition to that and doing those little changes, you know, also do have family concerns to do. This is a hobby of mine, doing this podcast, which I do love doing and appreciate doing it. Love talking demon sports. Lots to talk about on this episode. Spring sports are in the midst of some good conference races. Southland Conference is getting very wacky, which we'll talk about first, and some studs coming into the Demon basketball program, which I think all Demon fans should be happy about. But first, a quick word from our sponsor. We'll start off with the big news of the week is Lamar announcing a return to the Southland Conference. Not very surprising, as there was talk about the Cardinals returning. One of the big talking points was budgetary issues. Once Sam Houston left, it put Lamar in a bad spot with increased travel and greatly diminished football conference. And, of course, also with New Mexico State leaving as well, diminished basketball. With Lamar coming back, it does beg the question on the status of SFA, UIW, and Abilene Christian. The departures of New Mexico State and Sam Houston, combined with McNeese and Lamar opting out of the WAC, has greatly hurt the conference, especially in regards to football. As of now, SFA doesn't appear publicly to want to return to the Southland, but you do wonder if that can change if budgetary issues do become a concern. Minor sports, and I really hate that term minor sports, but minor sports trips to Utah and California are definitely more expensive than trips to Louisiana. Big question is if basketball and football can cover those costs. Now, with that said, many supporters are still seeking a jump to either the Sun Belt or Conference USA. And in all fairness, there was a little chatter around those conferences, especially Conference USA, having interest. And as they say, where there's smoke, a lot of times there's fire. But for now, they do appear to accept being in the Southland. It'll be interesting to see if they start making noise again in a few years. And of course, with the changing landscape of college athletics, it really, you know, it is going to be interesting how that dynamic does come into play and what everything's going to look like in 4 or 5 years, which in all certainty looks like it'll be drastically different with name, image, likeness and everything else, and more chatter about the Power Five conferences wanting to form their own little associations. So that'll be interesting. In the other news, last thing about the Southland Conference, they announced a complete rebranding, be a new logo, a new name, new everything. So it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening with that. I know looking on Twitter and on social media, a lot of people like the name Coast in there, whether it's Gulf Coast Conference, South Coast Conference. Going on there, I think, that's going to be interesting to see how they rebrand. And I do think for the Southland Conference, it's something that's very vital, as the conference took a huge hit when the Texas Four left. And I think it's just best for everyone just to kind of shake those negative aspects of the past and show this is a new leadership going forward. Moving on to softball, had a tough weekend, dropping 2-3 to Texas A&M Corpus Christi, and find themselves in second place at 24-15, 6-2 in conference, one game ahead of Southeastern. Really huge series this weekend against first place McNeese, who was 8-1 in conference, 24-15 overall. Sage Hoover pitched an absolute gem in game one. That was a 12-inning, 2-1 win over the Islanders. In that game, she pitched 12 complete innings, giving up only 6 hits, 1 earned run, and striking out 18. Has a 2.33 ERA for the year. Going to need performances like that again with league-leading McNeese coming in this weekend. Cowgirls are kind of an enigma, as their stats don't really jump out at you, but they've been quite effective. When you look at a lot of the great teams like conference leaders, a lot of times you see they'll have an exceptional pitching or exceptional hitting. The Cowgirls don't really have that. They're really kind of average looking when you look at their stats, but Something to note, since conference play has started, they have scored 5 runs or more in 6 of their 8 conference games. Also had a big upset win over the Cajuns. So they are playing really well right now. Very hot team. As good as anyone in the South, and going to need Sage Hoover and the rest of the pitching staff to come up and do what they can do best to have a chance against the Cowgirls. And an absolutely huge series, as a win and a series win over the Cowgirls could launch the Lady Demons to a chance to win the conference title. Lady Demons' offensive production pitching has been consistent. I really think the difference this weekend in the series losses, the Islanders simply got timely hits while the Lady Demons did not. Going to have to change that coming up. Against McNeese, as scrappy as they've been, you've got to get runs scored. You can't leave runners on base, can't have free balls, can't have errors. That'll come back to bite you. So really big weekend this weekend for softball team, and a huge game against, huge series, I should say, against McNeese, and a really big test to see where we're at in reference to a chance to make postseason. And looking throughout the conference, I do believe Lady Demons are definitely one of the front runners to make a postseason appearance. Baseball, unfortunately, did have a very rough outing, getting swept at UIW in our last ever series with them as they head on to the WAC. And that'll drop us to 15-16 overall, 5-4 in Southland play. And we are now in a 4-way tie for second with Nichols, UIW, and Houston Baptist while trailing UNO by game. Positive on that is we have a series win over UNO already. Cal Carver had a really off game in the first one, giving up 13 hits and 8 runs in 4 innings. Really kind of set the tone for the weekend. And at times this year, Cal has looked really great. Other times he struggled. He does show signs of dominance at times, as been in his career at Northwestern. You kind of see he's a really excellent pitcher waiting to come out. Definitely going to need him to get that consistency. And if Cal Carver can get that consistency to get us that Friday night win and get just that dominant performance, I think the Demons are going to be really, really tough down a stretch and could play well for us, possibly making and doing well in a regional round if we can get that 4. And unfortunately, throughout the weekend, not trying to bash on Cal Carver too much. You know, he's an excellent pitcher, and I have no doubt he'll bounce back. But Demon pitching simply didn't have their A game. It's disappointing, but part of baseball. Demons were supposed to play Louisiana Tech tonight, and that is Tuesday for those of you listening, which will probably be on Wednesday for many people. But that has been postponed on April 20th. That's going to be a really big game out there, as Louisiana Tech has grabbed a lot of that momentum from Northwestern. For well over a decade, Northwestern was the college baseball program in North Louisiana, and Louisiana Tech has definitely grabbed that spotlight and are playing very well. So a big game coming up on April 20th. We do face a surging Houston Baptist team that just took 2 or 3 from Nichols. Looking at Houston Baptist, Austin Spinney has looked very good for the Huskies in recent outings. I'm looking at Houston Baptist to rely on him coming out of the bullpen this weekend. ERA-wise, he's not exceptional, but the last couple of games, he has been very, very solid. So I'm going to definitely have to keep in the back of our mind. And what you'd like to see is us to jump up early, force him to use an exaggerated number of innings on Friday or Saturday and knock him out for the rest of the weekend. And I think if we can do that, I don't see Houston Baptist having a bullpen that's going to be overpowering. But again, we have to get to him early. For the Demons this week, I think we just need consistency. Harmon, Brown, and Carver as good as any rotation in the Southland Conference. And I think if you look throughout college baseball, I'd put them up there with almost anybody. We just need to put it together, and I really wouldn't bet against the Demons if they do put it together. A guy for the Demons coming out of the pen, and he's had limited appearances, is Gus Collins. He's a sophomore, has 32 strikeouts and 23 2/3 innings. His fastball is in the 90s, and when he's on, is very effective, and his curveball slider has about a 10-mile-per-hour drop and pretty decent movement on him. I'm very high on him, and I could see him eventually working his way into becoming a starter for the Demons. Did have a start against Grambling. He's pitched 4 innings in 3 of his last 4 appearances and was very effective on Corpus Christi on April 3rd, throwing 4 hitless innings. So really awesome performances from him. And Gus Collins is one of those guys that came onto the team and really kind of stepping up. And guys like him, once conference play starts and if we get to regional, are going to be just totally valuable, especially if you unfortunately have to face your way through a loser's bracket and have to really go deep in your bullpen. Guys like him can make a difference. But again, real, real big on a Demons pitching staff. And rounding out this episode is basketball, which has seen some Really big excitement under new coach Corey Gibson, who brought in some recruits from his old stomping grounds in Missouri. Following him from Missouri State is DeMarcus Sharp and Jamonte Black. The real intriguing addition is 7'3" center Jordan Wilmore, who played for the Missouri Tigers in the SEC. He had some very limited action, but if you go watch some highlights of his on YouTube and elsewhere, and they have some on Twitter, he's got some explosiveness, and I think it'd be a game changer. Reminds me a lot of Byron Allen, that when he gets the ball under the rim, he can just go up and explode and, you know, dunk it in with authority. Really excited to see how he can play, and if he shows that explosiveness in Southland Conference, he could possibly dominate. And with the Demons suffering a really tough loss, Kendall Coleman transferring over to LSU, there is some hope, though, in the first players I mentioned, in Sharp and Black. They played together at Missouri State. They've played under Coach Gibson, and he mentioned about their chemistry. So the chemistry they have together could hopefully fill that void that we're having from the departing players, notably Kendall Coleman. The guy I'm really happy to see is Black, is a very deadly three-point shooter. And one thing we mentioned throughout this podcast, throughout the basketball seasons, we just never had consistency from three-point range. You bring a guy like Black, that can really turn things around. And I think for the Demons, that's one of those missing pieces we have. Corey Gibson, so far, you know, he's done a great job as head coach in the short time he's been here. Real excited the way the program looks. Not going to go too much in the style of play he's going to have. If you look at Missouri State, there's some definitely good highlights of the program he was at. Very fundamentally sound program, but we don't know what his MO is going to be. He's a very young coach, so he hasn't carved out that niche where you can say this is definitely what he's going to do. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens, but I really like that dynamic he's bringing in. That'll be about it for this episode. Really do want to thank you for listening. Going to be some big weekends for both baseball, softball, of course, track and tennis, both doing exceptionally well. Going to cover them more next episode. Do thank you for taking your time out of your day to listen. I do appreciate you. As always, if you do want to contact me, please contact us on Twitter at Farcom Podcast. We'll be setting up a new email account that I will pass along on the next episode. Again, really do appreciate it. Hope everyone is safe. Have a really great week. Have a happy Easter. And as always, Farcom Demons.